Welcome to the Rich Flow of Life podcast. Join Valerie Kinney, the award-winning authority author, as she takes you on a journey for your personal evolution. Valerie Kinney talks to enlightened featured guests who hold the keys to unlock your unique life situation. They each bring to the table their very powerful personal spin to inspire and empower you to learn to step up your game into the rich flow of life.
Well, hello, everybody. I'm Valerie Kinney, and today our featured guest is Agbeli Alistair Zita. Oh, wow, who I'm so proud, pleased, and honored to have joining us. Now, you know, there are a lot of unfortunate situations in life, but some of them just really take me back. I'm just thrown back a loop for some of the things that people tell me. So out of his own dire straits, Alistair has written a book. And I'm going to tell you just a little bit about him before I get into the meat on the bones. Because Abigail is known as the council tax painkiller. So here's a little bit of background. Now, because of his situation, and we're going to get to that in one second, he has worked in the audio-visual production and equipment design and all this kind of technical support for the last past 12 years. And he's a single father of two boys, you know, adolescents. And he's led a very diverse life, let's just put it at that. But let's get back onto the serious note of things of why we're really here and why we call him the council tax painkiller. Because what happened with him is so unique that I'm going to let him explain it himself on what happens. But this is in the UK, and we're talking specifically in the United Kingdom, why he's here to share with us and tell us all about these tricky and sticky situations that a person can experience. And so that's what propelled him to write his book, Ditch Your Council Tax. And it's about the 9 steps to beat the tax system. And again, like I say, in the UK. And just like we can see from the book title, he had to really fight the system. And he can now share and show other people how to legally and lawfully free themselves from having to pay council tax in the UK, especially when your home is levied. And there are ways where you can be exempted for specific reasons, and that's what he's going to share. And then the other thing, I'm going to call him Alistair by the middle name. Alistair has said he was harassed, and he has so many attempts and just bogus ways by local authorities to bully and just try to do everything really, you know, just uncouth, so to speak, in regards to paying council tax. So he brings his experience. He brings his personal knowledge and study research to provide a means to teach people how to stand on their own 2 feet and duke this thing out like he did and emulate, if not yet copy, his victories. So on that note, we're going to learn all about this from the council tax painkiller, Abigail Alistair Zita. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our program.
Hey, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I've been listening to some of your other interviews, and they're awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. And you know, it's been a long time in the making for you and I to talk together about this thing, because this book is forthcoming. And I know in the UK, this is a real prevalent situation about this whole tax thing. So we're primarily talking about homes on this podcast, but this can be for businesses too. But we're going to be specifically and talking about homes. So how come, Alistair, is the council tax, is it lawfully avoidable if everyone is required to pay it?
In one word, yes, it's very, very lawfully avoidable. Simply because, and that's simply because of the way the law works in this country. What we call law, from the layman's perspective, is actually 2 parts. One being common law, which is the oldest part of the law of what we look at as law in the UK. We're talking the last 800 plus years. And there's Acts of Parliament, which is legislation, basically. Now, common law applies to everyone, from Her Majesty the Queen right down to me. It applies to everyone, and no one can escape it. Legislation, on the other hand, only applies to certain sections of society. obviously, it depends on what that legislation covers. It will apply to some people and not to others. It will apply to some people some of the time and not at other times. But the difference between common law and legislation is simply that legislation needs the individual consent of a person for it to then have the force of law upon you. So looking at the council tax, the legislation that covers council tax, which is the Local Government Finance Act of 1992, that is legislation. It does not have the force of law upon me if I decide not to give it that force of law. Therefore, there's no law that says I have to pay council tax.
Gotcha. So what... But let's get in there a little bit, because that's going to be a little bit too heavy duty for all of us. Okay, because that gets in there. You studied, so you know this, and it has become natural for you. So let's stop it right there and jump right onto what happened to you to bring you to the point of writing this book.
Well, after I had my own little run-in with my local authority. I mean, they got me summoned to court. To the local magistrate's court for non-payment of council tax at a time when I was going through a period of unemployment, and being a single parent made it even harder. So the night before I went into court, I suddenly decided, as far as I'm aware, I'm going to fight this thing as best I can, but I might lose. So whether I fight and lose or whether I just go and get slaughtered, as far as I can tell, very likely I'm still going to lose. So I'm going to put up a fight and see how far I can get. So I did a little research that night before I went in, and I started finding out so much about how the council tax system really works. And it's just one big sham. So the next day I went in and I actually asked certain questions and made certain statements. And lo and behold, they actually redrew the case against me.
Well, Alistair, you must be very smart now, because most people wouldn't have gone and read up and all this stuff and understood it without an attorney. You didn't even get an attorney, a lawyer involved with this for you?
No, because, well, for one thing, I couldn't afford one. Secondly, it didn't occur to me to look for one, and it was literally the night before I went in when I decided I was going to try and find out some information. But I would say that anyone can do this, simply because all you need is one decision. That's the one thing you need. One decision to decide for yourself that you're not going to get taken for a ride any further, you know, by the local authorities. Because to put it in a nutshell, they say the monies that everyone pays from the local area, you know, as council tax, is supposed to be used for the benefit of the local population. But it doesn't really happen that way. It instead goes on really badly thought out projects, you know, which are implemented by the councils, the local authorities. A lot of this money is not really accounted for. Even the government actually gives an accounting for its spending every year. The local authorities do not give an accounting for the council tax monies that they take in every year. You know, and how can a government be accountable and a local authority not be accountable? There's a huge discrepancy there for me.
Huge discrepancy. But now what I'm getting from this is that you say anyone really can do what you did to free themselves from this tax. And based on what you're saying, the monies get appropriated the way they do. That's a whole nother legal thing. We're not going to get involved with that. But why do you feel, Alistair, that anyone can do this?
Because I was just an ordinary person, and I decided I was going to stand and fight. Anyone can stand and fight, as long as you know, as long as you can make that decision for yourself what you're going to do. Once you make that decision, everything else falls into place. At least that's how it worked for me, and for a number of people I've actually worked with on this, you know, over the last 14 months or so. And each of them had to make that decision that they were going to fight this. You know, of course, I was there to walk with them through it, so it made it a lot easier for them. But it's a process that still requires you to make a decision and draw that line in the sand. When you do, you find that courage to be able to do this, because it does involve stepping into a courtroom.
Oh, okay. And so now, I know it got kind of roused about with everything happening, because, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that went down You know, it wasn't just like easy, like just stepping up there and going and, you know, and taking care of things as you went through this process. What is all this business about getting arrested by the police on separate occasions? You went to court. I mean, come on. It just got rocked about. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, on two occasions, I did have police officers come and, should we say, try to frighten me. The first occasion was when I was fighting my own case. That was quite simple because they only came and literally dragged me out from the courtroom after I had, shall we say, taken control of the court and made the magistrate abandon the court, his own courtroom. So then, because the way the law works, I then became the most powerful person in the court, shall we say. And I took control of it and declared the case dismissed. And that's when they called the police in. They couldn't really, they had no grounds to arrest me. But just so that they could, shall we say, get this rebellious person out of there and not infect anyone else, they literally just put their hands on me and dragged me out. They wouldn't say why they laid hands on me. But when we got outside of the courtroom, of the court building, that was it. They let me go. The second occasion, and that was literally a 5-minute thing. The second occasion was a lot more drawn out because after the magistrates abandoned the court, and I was a lot more prepared this time because it was about a year later. They called, the securities personnel couldn't get me out because there were certain common law boundaries they couldn't cross. So the police eventually took me out, put the cuffs on me, but they couldn't actually say why they were arresting me. One of them did mumble contempt of court. And when I challenged that view and with certain information that I gave them, he realized that I knew what I was talking about, and he dared not open his mouth any further. But they still did take me down to the police station. They didn't charge me because they had no grounds to arrest me under any law. So they took me into a cell, took the cuffs off, sat me down in the cell for about 5 minutes. They didn't shut the cell door. An officer stood in the doorway the whole time. And then they turned around and said, oh, we're going to let you go because the magistrates have requested that we release you. And I was like, okay, so what next? And they're like, yeah, we're gonna let you go. You just leave the station and go away. And I'm like, no, I'm not gonna leave the station. You drove me here halfway across the city. You're gonna drive me back, and I'm not going back to the court in the van. The vans are horribly uncomfortable. So they committed to drive me back in a car. So I had two officers drive me back. One sat with me in the back and the other drove. And I explained to them. I actually lectured them on the way back. And it was quite interesting. But
you know, it is more than quite interesting because I can't believe all of this has happened or was happening at that time because of council tax. I mean, who would think that police is involved taking you down, rastabousing you up, all about council taxing? So this is pretty serious over there, huh?
Yeah, it is. The reason why the police get involved is quite simply because the local authorities, we call them councils over here, the different police forces which operate in the country, as well as the court system itself, have a cozy little arrangement that allows the councils to issue summonses. So the court system doesn't really get involved in it, apart from its buildings being used. The police are part of it, you know. And then, yes, so the courts provide the premises, but they don't actually provide the staff. So whatever happens there is just purely counsel. It's nothing to do with law. It's a sham. It looks like real proceedings, but it's a sham. And the police are part, you know, and it's all sanctioned by the government. So they know about it over in Westminster. The MPs all know about it, but they will not come out and officially say and officially admit that this is something that they knew, that they know about and have set up. It's really very... It's very strange. I mean, three or four years on since I started dealing with this issue, I still marvel at the craziness of it.
Mm-hmm. And how long ago has this occurrence occurred for you? When was this?
So you mean when I had my own case?
Yeah, when was your case?
Oh, that was a year ago, actually, when I actually my final appearance in court was a year ago, literally a year ago this month.
Okay, very cool. And so, you know, this is the kind of thing that a lot of times and things happen like this in our life. And you're just at the lowest point in all of this. And then you're like, oh, my God, here's another thing that's happening, you know. And now you get into all of this and you find out that the taxation system is just, like you say, it's just craziness. It's really craziness. So out of that sort of experience, what, Alice, said, would you like to see happen to the council tax system there in the UK, what would be ideal for you to live through in your lifetime to see happen there?
I would be very, very happy, you know, if shall we say, sweeping change, you know, is implemented in the council tax system, because it really is needed. I mean, to put it simply, you can have someone who earns, say, £16,000 a year who has to pay something like £100 worth of council tax each month. That's £1,200 each year. But you can have someone who earns £250,000 a year who has to pay something similar for a six-bedroom house, depending on where in London, for example, they might be, while the person who has to pay that £100 a month may be living in a one-bedroom apartment. It's crazy. And the system is so shadowy, we don't even know what the councils use that money for. We don't know how those rates are calculated for each individual home, you know. So the system really needs to be changed in order to be fairer, and it needs to be a lot more transparent. You know, and I would like to say as well that I have never been against paying council tax, but simply because of what the monies that are collected are supposed to be used for, which is the benefit of the local population, you know, and it doesn't really happen like that. So if the change is brought in, you know, that money would be used in some ways that would just literally lift a lot of people out of some pretty dark places where they are. You know, a lot of kids would have a lot more, there'll be a lot more facilities, you know, for kids, among other things, you know, in the local areas. So such change would be a godsend for the whole country. I pray I live to see it.
Wonderful. So on the lighter side of things, as our time is winding down for this program, I noticed that in your book that's up and coming, that your son's names are in the first two chapters of your headings. Why is that, and how do they feel about it?
Do you know what? First, I have to go.
Okay.
Actually, when I began writing the book, for a joke, I said to my younger son, because I don't know, for whatever reason, one night he woke up after about an hour and a half after they should have been asleep. He woke to get some water to drink, and he saw what I was doing, and he asked me. So I told him this was the book I was writing. So he sat with me at my computer, and I said to him, "So, do you want me to put you in the book?" I'll create a quote from some of the nice things you keep saying to encourage me when I feel sad or I feel a bit down sometimes. And he goes, yeah. And I said to him, okay, I'll talk to you about it tomorrow before I put you to bed. All right. So now I sent him off to bed. And I did keep my promise. The next night, before they went to bed, I opened up I turned on my computer and showed them the document I was working on. And I decided I'd put quotes at the beginning of each chapter, you know. Depending on what the chapter was about, I chose the quote. So I put my first son's name at the beginning of the first chapter, and I attributed a quote to him, which was a lot of the time based on stuff I used to tell him to try and encourage him. And I'll just read it quickly to you. And it reads, "Calm down and breathe slowly. Feel better? Good. Now find your courage." And I've put his name under it as Enan Zida. And my younger son, I put at the beginning of the second chapter, and his quote is, "You have the courage. Keep your head up. Push forward."
Wow.
And that's attributed to my younger son.
That's awesome. You know, that is so often. Now we are just out of time here. So I do want to let you know how folks can get a hold of you so they can emulate your victories and have their own success stories when it comes to this council tax system in the UK, because people need help. They can count on you. They can depend on you. You've gone through it and you are the victor in it. So let them know your Facebook information, how they can hook into you, okay?
Yeah, the best way to get through to me is via Facebook. My name is spelled on the menu of this podcast, but I'll mention it again, Akbeli Alistair Zida. And once they get through to me on Facebook, just drop me a line, I'll respond, and from there we can communicate via phone or Skype, whichever. And once I know their situation, then I can start putting a solution together for them. Because in this thing, there's no one size fits all. You have to take each person's case individually.
All right.
There's also workshops that I'm hoping more and more people will start signing up to. So, yeah.
Okay. Very cool.
Be on Amazon as well.
All right, Alistair. We're out of time now. So I do want to thank you for coming out and talking to me on this podcast about
so
the tax. Yeah, the local tax council there in the UK. And I do want to take a chance to say I love you dearly. And I look forward to hearing from you again very soon.
Most definitely indeed. Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the Rich Flow of Life podcast with host Valerie Kinney. We're most appreciative you took the time to be with us. And thank you. For more action, go subscribe to Valerie Kinney Talks YouTube channel and like us on Facebook at Valerie Kinney Talks and follow us on Twitter at Valerie Kinney. Until next time, we love ya.